finally brought you here. Behold, Forge the Narrative.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
Good day, everybody.
Man, welcome back. It's been a couple of weeks. It's been a very hectic couple of weeks, and I apologize to everyone that listens to the show weekly. And we're even recording on a different night than we normally do this week, which is, I believe, why it's just Adam and I. Red may join us later. We'll see if he does. Certainly appreciate the flexibility that everyone has to accommodate. We're going to talk about Chaos Space Marines, though, because
yeah, boy,
this is something highly anticipated, highly beloved faction. Is rabid as the Space Marine fan base is, the Chaos Space Marine side of that, the Heretic Astartes, is equally so.
Totally agree. And akin to, you know, the sheer deluge of Astartes detachments that Space Marines got in their codex, and then additionally, you know, things like Dark Angels and stuff, they have not skimped on the Veterans of the Long War. They have detachments for days, and I have to tell you right now, this is an exceptional codex. Like, when I say exceptional, this might go down as one of the best codexes they've had since, was it the third edition codex?
I don't say since Orcs, like last week.
Since the Chaos Space Marines, the Chaos Space Marines codex is what I was envisioning.
3.5 was the best.
That's right. That's the one.
Space Marine codex.
Is it the Dread Spear? Slaaneshi relic? Never mind. It was a house right there. But they get a swathe of phenomenal detachments, and there are no misses here. It's just good or better, and depending on what you want to play. And I got to say, these last two codexes, like Orcs and Chaos Space Marines, are showing a whole new level to this, where they're able to write codexes that have incredible depth of play. Like, you would happily play a codex like this for 4 or 5 years without getting bored. There's just so much you can do.
I was going to mention that too, is that I love the fact that this is a way for you to use your entire collection in a myriad of different ways. And, you know, we talked a lot about it with the Space Marines, but I'll mention it again for Chaos Space Marines. Of course, it's cool to like paint your army in a certain faction that you love or whatever. And that used to be like, okay, you had to, I'm using the air quotes, you had to use a certain kind of like layer of rules on that wherever and whenever you played it, or you'd have to fight the social stigma. Well, that has basically been all but removed from the game. And so now, paint your army however you want. You can you field them and deploy them with these different detachment rules, which gives you an excuse to use new and different units in your collection. Every game, you know, different if you want to.
Yeah, totally. And of course, you do have the usual suspects here. There is a detachment that feels very like, a Black Legion detachment. There is a detachment that feels very like an Alpha Legion detachment, Night Lords detachment, Iron Warriors detachment, but they're not branded as such. So, you know, you can assume that your Chaos Warband has different modes of war and can fight a battle in different using a variety of characteristics, whatever best suits you and your playstyle and your collection, which I think is an ingenious way of going about it.
Yeah, use the whole legion, as it were.
Correct.
Start here with the Dark Pax as the army rule here. If your army faction is Heretic Astartes, each time a unit with the ability to select to shoot or fight, you can make a Dark Pact. If it does, must first make a leadership test before any of the Dark Pact's effects are resolved. If it's failed, the unit suffers D3 mortal wounds. Then you get to select one of the following abilities: lethal hits or sustain hits 1.
This is just a very strong baseline ability from which to operate from. Just like straight up, you make a mathematical choice about which one of these is going to be more impactful depending on the target of said attack. And there's no downside. You still get the ability no matter what. It's just whether or not you took mortal wounds. It's not like you can fail a leadership test and you get no bonus. You still get bonus. You still get to do the job you want to do. It's just, did you punch yourself?
Yeah. And look, you know, roll the dice, see what happens. We know plenty of Chaos Generals who are basically always on the receiving end of those D3 mortal wounds, but they still win a lot of games.
Agreed. The first of the detachments is really funny because
before we get to that, just one case, it does give you rules for fielding some of the more sworn different types of Chaos Space Marines. So the Berserkers, Rubric Marines from Thousand Suns, Plague Marines, and Noise Marines. You can include those in a certain way in your army, depending on what size you're doing, Incursion, Strike Force, or Onslaught. They lose their faction keyword and pick up the Heretic Astartes keyword. So that may become, before we jump into this, maybe Black Legion-esque type detachment you're going to talk about. You know, if that's the way you were used to playing, you still got it.
So at 2,000 points, you can take 500 points of said, you know, relative god stuff. And that's pretty much just to say, hey, this is still Chaos Space Marines. Please go, don't go trying to play 1,000 Suns in your Chaos Space Marines codex. Let's be reasonable here. The first of the detachments is a Space Marine detachment. It is called Veterans of the Long War. And I love this because this is the focus of Hatred detachment rule is Oath of Moment.
It's good.
Because they're still just space.
Focus of Hatred is good.
Yeah. They're still Space Marines, you know? They still operate and, you know, field and you know, commit to war in the same way as they have for 10,000 years. And so I really think this is a cool idea to chuck this in. They have some exceptionally good stratagems as well. You can switch your focus of hatred. So you, unlike Space Marines, and they've learned this over 10,000 years, they can commit an oath in any phase just after your focus of hatred is destroyed. So if you start of the command phase, you pick your focus of hatred or oath of moment, if you make it easier in your head, and then should you kill them more easily than you thought, for 2 CP, you can switch it onto somebody else and go and punch them in combat and kill them more better as well. I think that's really cool.
To not gloss over for maybe some folks that are not familiar with an Oath of the Moment ability at the start of your command phase, select one unit from your opponent's army to be your focus of hatred until the start of your next command phase. Each time a heretic has started his models from your army, excluding damned models, which we can talk about that in a bit, makes an attack that targets your focus of hatred, you can reroll the hit roll. So obviously very, very powerful. And what you were talking about is endless ire for 2 CP. At any phase just after your focus of hatred is destroyed, select one enemy unit within 12 invisible of the unit that you target, which is a Heretic Astartes character unit. Until the start of your next command phase, that enemy unit is considered to be your focus of hatred.
Really cool. And I would like to say that I think just in the microcosm of comparing, say, a Gladius to this Veterans of the Long War detachment, because, of course, we can do that because they both had the same kind of army ability. When you operate from a place of every unit in your army can have lethal or sustained hits as a choice, as a baseline saying that every weapon in my army gets some measure of reroll to get more lethal and more sustained, that is just a compounding effect. That is just a double down effect. That is just, yeah, getting more blood out of the stone. I really like how those work together. I think it's really cool. Also, Contemptuous Disregard, 1 CP. This is Armor of Contempt. It's only in your... So it's same as the other ones, shooting a five phase, just after being selected. You worsen the armor penetration characteristic of the incoming attack by one. Really, really good and really cute that they've given it here as well. So very Space Marine feel.
So I knew you mentioned Space Marine feel a couple of times, and I do want to point out, you know, this is this like Black Legion type equivalent or flavor of things. And some of the stratagems here are Black Crusade, Let the Galaxy Burn, Bringers of Despair, Millennia of Experience. And also, you know, the similarities, you know, Abaddon has kind of become the foil to Gilliman, you know, in the storyline. And I also think that Abaddon, you know, when you read some of those stories about how, you know, he's not necessarily down with being consumed by chaos. He wants to be in control of things and wants to, you know, hold on to the old ways. And this is reflective of those old ways with, you know, that real edge to it that maybe you might expect from the Chaos Space Marine side.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love that, you know, this fits in with the fluff of the Black Legion so well that, you know, they are not necessarily hidebound, but they haven't degenerated like many other legions have. They've held on to what made them there and what made them them and what let them conquer the galaxy. And so they're still operating in a similar way, which I think is stupendous rules writing.
Now, last time we read a bunch of CPs, you know, for the orcs that were like, this is a great effect. This is one CP. This is a great effect. There's only one CP. The orcs got it really good. The stuff we've talked about so far, the Endless Ire is a 2 command point stratagem. But I want to talk about another 2 command point stratagem, the Bringers of Despair. This is at the start of the fight phase. One heretic Astartes unit from your army that is within engagement range of your focus of hatred, you can give it fight first. So there's lots of stuff that builds on that focus of hatred. So like switching it around, you know, may be important.
Well, what I love about this is that, you know, fights first is one of those ones similar to in previous editions, we would ask somebody if they could fight twice, if they could interrupt for free, things like that. This edition, you know, your start of turn, so start of game questions is, do you have any fight first? Do you have any go back into reserve or uppy downy, as some people decided to call it? Do you have any reactive moves or lone ops, stuff like that? And so this is the one where you're like, yes, I have fight first. Don't ask any more questions. but one of the cool combos here, and it's very expensive, I admit, it's a four CP combo. But the way that these two work together with Endless Ire and Bringers of Despair, you can go in your turn, in my turn. Let's say I'm playing against, let's just say Custodians. They've got two big units of Wardens, and I want to kill one in my turn, but I don't want the other one to come in and smash me and absolutely kill me in their turns. I don't want to take a 2-for-1 or a 1-for-1. So you go in and you manage to kill their unit, and then for 2 CP, you switch the focus of hatred onto the unit that they have to use next turn to clean up what you just did to them, and then you essentially used it as a deterrent. 2 CP deterrent, sir, because now you've unlocked fight first for me. And not only will I fight first, I'll have full rerolls to hit and lethal or sustained, if nothing else. And you use it as like a huge like cudgel.
You might be able to just pop off because the Eye of Abaddon is an enhancement up here in the section above. And once you destroy your focus of hatred, you can roll a D6 on a 4+, you gain 1 command point, you know? So
yep.
Maybe you're like, well, I'm almost there. If things just go exactly right, then you
yep.
set this chain reaction.
Totally agree. The next detachment is really, really cool. This is the Alpha Legion-esque one. It's called the Deceptors. Now, we've seen detachments like a Hypercrypt and a Teleport Strike Force to let you, you know, put things into reserve every turn. This is similar but different. In the Declare Battle Formation step, this is the detachment rules is Master of Misdirection, as it has been for a millennia. In the Battle Formation step, you can select a number of Legionaries units and cultist mob units. So that's specifically Legionaries data sheets and cultist data sheets, not accursed cultists, not chosen. Those units and any characters attached to those units have the infiltrator's ability. The maximum number is shown below. So in Strike Force for a 2000 point game, you get 3 units of infiltrating Legionaries and 3 units of infiltrating cultists with whatever you decide to attach to them in addition. Incredible ability.
Yeah, that does.
It is a homage.
Very, very powerful.
You like the Sanguinor, don't you?
I do.
They have a similar enhancement ability. Now, this is called Falsehood, and it is a mouthful, so bear with me.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because this detachment has a lot of text and subtlety to it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fitting, if you ask me, but give it to us.
Around the water cooler, we would call this jank, and this is premium jank. In the Declare, so it's a Chaos Lord model only, can't be a Terminator or Jump Pack model, so essentially it's just a walking Chaos Lord, which is still very good. In the Declare Battle Formation step, you can select the bearer to be put in reserves instead of starting on the battlefield. If you do, in the reinforcement steps of your next movement phase, you can select one model and a friendly Legionaries or chosen unit that is on the battlefield. The selected model is then destroyed, and the bearer is set up as close as possible to where that model was destroyed, at only within engagement range of enemy units that were already within engagement range of. So essentially, you're like, ha ha, I was Alpharius all along, and you chuck your Chaos Lord into a unit. I think it's so cool, and it's one of the most Alpha Legion things I've ever read.
Yeah, see you later, Legionary, down with this 40 mil base now.
you were in fact a Chaos Lord this whole time, just in disguise.
Loving that.
A lot of play in that ability as well.
Here's another thing, Shroud of Obfuscation. I know this is a pretty straightforward one. The bearer has stealth and lone operative abilities.
Incredible buy. Just incredible, incredible use there. Of course, the Chaos Lords now have a jump pack option. So sticking that guy in a jump pack and just jumping him around your backfield to get points and, you know, hold down your primary. And then, you know, putting him into kill, utility units of your opponents, might have 5 scouts out on an objective.
Right, like Storm Boys have been running around doing lots of cool stuff in lists now, Chaos Lord cleaned them up pretty well.
Yes. Yeah, stealth as well, like -1 to hit, and like if you're in a detachment that can also be very janky. So you can just infiltrate a bunch of units and then just have this guy run up turn one and be like, well, can you eat through, possibly 60 cultists and then have something relevant in range of this lone op standing on an objective? Really, really cool.
We're going through the enhancements here because they're all pretty good. Soul Link.
Oh, they are.
This is another one of those.
It's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of subtlety here. So Heretic Astartes Infantry model only. At the start of your command phase, you can select one other Heretic Astartes Infantry character model from your army, excluding Epic Heroes. Until the start of your next command phase, the bearer gains the Psyker keyword, and replace the bearer's datasheet abilities with datasheet abilities of the character you selected.
So what you want to do with this one because straight up, this just means that any character that you have can, so this character can be any other character that you have on the table. Can't turn into a Baden or anything like that. But what you want to do is you want to go and find the cheapest character in the book and slap this on it. And then you can flex into being, you know, if you take a master possession, this guy can just become a master possession. If you want to be a sorcerer, can become a sorcerer. You want to be a chaos lord, can become a chaos lord. I think this is an exceptionally cool little playbook that this single character brings to you. A regular sorcerer is 60 points. What's a master of executions? I think that may be cheaper.
Yeah, and these are just points in the book itself.
Oh, in the back. So grain of salt with all of these, of course.
But you got to assume that things are being the same thing. Your master execution is going to be in the same utility type.
Yeah, exactly right. But yeah, it's such a wild playbook you can unlock. You just take not necessarily this is the best way to play, but if you wanted to give this ability its full playbook, you just take one of every other character and then one of the cheapest character. And then that cheap character, you just get to double up opportunistically whenever you please.
Jumping
down. Whichever one makes the more sense.
Yeah, into the stratagems. That is, I think, some of that endless replayability that we talk about
with Warhammer. Yes.
You've added another little, that thing to it.
That model can play a different role in your army every game. It's so cool.
Digging on that.
Tell us about the first strat. Everyone's going to be happy this is back.
So the detonator, 1 CP. when any phases after an enemy model with deadly demise, excluding Titanic models, is destroyed. I think that's kind of a important balance.
Boo.
I know, right?
But it is important for balance. It is important for balance. I agree.
One Heretic Astartes character from your army that was within 18 inches of that enemy model when it's destroyed. That's the target. The effect is your opponent does not roll to determine whether mortal wounds are inflicted by their model's deadly demise ability. Instead, mortal wounds are automatically inflicted if that ability inflicts a random number of mortal wounds. Your opponent rolls to determine that number as normal.
So I played an event on the weekend, and it was a team event. We almost lost a round because our Chaos Knight player lost two knights turn one. Before they could move, when all the knights were bunched up, and both of them exploded, and combined, they dealt 19 mortal wounds to their army. Imagine if they were able to kill one more and make that one explode.
Yeah, I mean, this is like Incarnate shenanigans all over again. Let me get close enough, and I'm already going to be close enough because I've been able to trade and everything. We kill one thing over there. What's got deadly demise? Is it D6 or whatever? Let's just kill that and see what happens.
Yeah, well, and the reason it's not for Titanic models is because stuff like the Corn Lord of Skulls exist. That's D6 plus 2 deadly demise. And so you could just go first, kill your opponent's, Imperial Knight, and then the game is over and no one had a good time. I mean, you had a good time, actually, but, your opponent is not happy that they played you, and that would be a 1 CP auto-win the game. So I do think that you are right from a balance point of view, but come on, it would be so funny.
Another one here, From All Sides, which this is pretty cool. I don't know.
Really good. Really good.
So it's when you need this, I think it's important, but I think what you see in a lot of... Well, let me explain what it does. From All Sides, start of your charge phase. One Heretic Astartes unit from your army. The effect is, until the end of the phase, add one to charge rolls made for your unit for each Heretic Astartes unit from your army that made a charge move this phase to a maximum of +3.
Yes. So what I read when you said all those things is that I can get a 6-inch charge from reserve what I read there.
Yeah.
I charge a rhino into some nonsense. I charge 5 legionaries into some nonsense. I charge 10 cultists to their death. And then my 10 warp talons or terminators just arrive from reserve only to roll a 6. The key point here is that it's table wide. Anything on the table for you made a charge doesn't need to be the target of whatever this unit is charging. Just any 3 things, up to 3 things that make a charge, add plus to yours. It's really quite interesting if you play into it.
That's what I was going to mention. I don't know how often it's going to come into play for like 3 things charging one unit.
Yes.
But I think it's going to come into play a lot for exactly like you just described of like you set up all these little easy gimmies, and then that's when you've brought in something from reserve and get the job done.
Yeah. And I totally agree. I think for that purpose it is a banger.
Yeah.
Scrambler
6-inch charge is pretty reliable.
Dude from reserve is very, very good. I need to tell you guys, Raptors and Warp Talons. Warp Talons especially have one of the biggest glow ups in this book. Warp Talons are very good. I need to tell you about one more before we probably move on to the next one because there's just so much to talk about. Scrambled Coordinates, my man. This one is going to be annoying. 1 CP, start of the reinforcement step of your opponent's movement phase. One Heretic Astartes unit from your army. Until the end of the phase, enemy units that are set up on the battlefield from reserve cannot be set up within 12 of your unit. And just to tell you, you can have 20 cultists with an attached dark commune for a 25 model unit that you can't deep strike or arrive from reserve within 12 of.
That's a lot
the
of
whole models. Board.
Yeah.
That's it, that unit infiltrates as well. Like that's the whole relevant part of the board. This is going to be annoying. You're just going to versus this army. You are just going to be really have to be like, do I just start all the Inceptors on the table? Do I just have to like put all the reserves on? Otherwise, they're just not going to rock up when I want them to.
I like it when you get in ahead of your opponent that way and to make them play a totally different game. I know you mentioned we probably should jump to the next one, but I want to point out there's a bit of a theme in some of these detachments. And Relentless Pursuit kind of starts this here. And this is there's a lot of movement shenanigans in this book.
Yes.
Which I think is going to be incredibly, incredibly powerful and speaks to the power level that you were describing this codex a few minutes ago. This is a 1 CP stratagem. In your opponent's movement phase, just after an enemy unit ends a normal advance or fallback move, one Heretic Astartes infantry or Heretic Astartes mounted unit from your army that is within 9 of that enemy and not within engagement range, the effect is you can make a normal move of up to 6 inches.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Actually, a similar stratagem is in there for the Black Legion detachment previously, the Veterans of the Long War. Of course, that's because the Gladius has it, so of course they had to give it to All right, the next detachment is, in my opinion, one of the most powerful detachments in the game as it stands right now. This is up there with Canoptic Court, up there with Bully Boys. This is just gas. This is the Renegade Raiders. So this is almost, the bits and pieces of other warbands, strapped together, your Renegades, your all sorts. Raiders and Reavers is an attachment rule. Ranged weapons equipped by Heretic Studies model from your army have the assault ability. Straight up, already a good ability. Everybody just gets to shoot after they advance. Everyone minimum moves one more inch and shoots. That's just the baseline. And then Heretic Studies model from your army that make an attack that targets a unit within range of an objective marker improve the armor penetration characteristic of that attack by 1. So shooting or fighting. And mate, you cast a million hours of 40K. What is one of the basic tenets of playing 10th edition?
Oh.
Killing stuff on objectives.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I was like, wait a second. Which one are you talking about?
Which one? Which bit is getting and killing and flipping objectives is such a core of the game. And this detachment just gives it to you on a platter in both of its rules.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that is incredibly strong. And there's some other things in here. I think this will make this detachment, I think, is probably not what a lot of players they probably played towards in the past, but I think there's going to be some compelling reasons to maybe look at it right now.
Yeah, this detachment feels to me like the a bit of the all-comers. Like you got a bunch of, legionaries in rhinos, a couple of units of bikes, some warp talons, maybe some predators and stuff like that. This one feels really good for the a bit of everything detachment, which I think is really cool. They got a couple of really good enhancements as well. The one I really like is Mark of the Hound, which is models in the bearer's unit have scout 6. It's very good. And then the next one, Tyrant's Lash, is reroll advances as well. And the unit's still eligible to shoot when you fall back. And so with reroll advances and
that one.
Yeah, dude. With reroll advances and assault weapons, and I'm gonna blow the lead a little bit. They have an advance and charge stratagem. So reroll advances with assault weapons. So you are just moving as far as you want, rerollable, still able to shoot, and for 1 CP, still eligible to charge.
Yeah, that's the Reaver's Haste is when it is doing your charge phase. And yeah, until the end of the phase, your unit is eligible to declare a charge in a turn in which it advanced. If you select one or more units within range of an objective marker as the target of that charge, add 1 to the charge roll. So also,
I even missed the cherry on top. the plus 1. I even missed the plus 1. It just keeps getting better.
Absolutely digging that. Yeah, and also warp charge engines until the end of the phase. If your unit advanced, do not make an advance roll for it. Instead, at the end of the phase, add six to the move characteristics for the model. That's a 1 CP.
Really cool. So that's only for transports or mounted units. But making sure your rhino gets to the delivery spot, the staging point, or just making sure a unit of bikes just gets straight into the backfield for behind enemy lines, engage, and can still, for 1 CP, can still charge. Because a lot of the times you'll have an auto 6 move that says you can't charge after it. This one is open-ended. You still get to shoot, and you still get to charge for another CP. This is another great bit of synergy.
Of course, getting all talking about getting all up close and personal. The Scour and Seize one command point in the fight phase. Till the end of the phase, each time a model in this unit makes an attack and targets a unit within the range of an objective marker, the attack has the precision ability. We know how powerful that can be.
Oh, my man. So we know Wraith units aren't going anywhere with their technomancers. Mm-hmm. But with plus one AP and, you know, a lethals or sustained hits, because these guys just still get dark packed as well. Mm-hmm. Just about any unit of five nonsense marines, like your cheapest five marines, will go in and kill a technomancer for you for one CP. I think it's really, really cool that they have that as well. But here's the cracker. Here is the absolute banger. Opportunistic Raiders. This is one CP. It's at the end of the fight phase. One Heretic Astartes unit from your army that was eligible to fight this phase. So you had to have been eligible to fight, a la you had to have been, usually you have to have charged, or there's a couple of other T's and C's there. If the unit is not within engagement range of one or more enemy units, you can just make a normal move of 6 or 12 if you're a mounted unit, of course. Otherwise, you can fall back. You cannot embark with the transport if you disembark this turn, so there's no getting out in Varanos and Raiders and such, but you can cycle through. Like you can get, you know, you've got two units of legionaries, you get one out in one turn, you fight one, exactly right. You can just kind of clown car in and out. But where this really gets crazy is Warp Talon. So Warp Talon ability now reads that if you are not within engagement range, you can go back into reserve at the end of the fight phase. This means that every single turn of the game, even if you haven't killed what you were fighting for one CP, you can fall back and go back into reserve. And then you go into your opponent's turn and you pay one another CP and you rapid ingress, go straight back into the jugular on the other side of the table. And then one CP back into reserve, even if you didn't kill the target again, and just keep recycling and just being a problem everywhere on the table. I think this stratagem is a playbook in and of itself, and you are just going to find ways to be so annoying to your opponent. Your opponent tried to screen an objective from you, because usually if you kill a target and you can't pile in, you know, because you were 3.1 inches away from the objective they were body blocking, you can't pile in onto it because if you can't tap another unit or get onto the objective. Well, like one CP, baby, I move 6 or 12 and I just take your objective. Stuff like that is just going to be such a house, such an exciting way to play.
Everything about, I can think of a reason to play each one of the detachments we talked about so far.
Yeah. And we're not even halfway through.
Let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and talk about the rest of them and then maybe some unit synergies and things like that. Be right back, everybody.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back in the Eye of the Warp. Back to the Eye.
We are indeed.
That's what it says.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time coming.
Oh my goodness. I mean, Chaos players have to be overjoyed by the news they're hearing and glad to bring you some of this stuff. But, you know, what we talked about in the first part of the show is that I think it's going to be one of those codexes to where if you've been a player for a long time and your collection is kind of deep, then, you know, you're going to find a way to use those models.
Endless possibilities. I struggle to think of a unit in a data sheet in this book that doesn't get gassed up and feel exciting. And that is, I could not give a better testament to a book than that. The Orc book did it very similar. There were a couple in there that, you know, fell off a little bit. Like they don't feel, you know, bad in a bunch of detachments, but they don't get, you know, gassed up. They don't feel like they're doing something special and unique and spicy. I got to say that the detachments in this book just make everything feel good. I love everything about what I'm reading here.
Completely agree. And what I'm starting to theorize about is, like, you know, when the Space Marines first hit, you know, if you had two or three of what were the standout units, then that was like the core of every one of your detachments for the most part.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be the same here.
No, there's a couple of detachments that I think want to start with the baseline of a couple of Chaos Lords and a couple of units of Legionaries and Rhinos. But outside, like as soon as you get past that, it's wide open. Absolutely wide open, mate. So I 100% agree.
Mostly, I say that because... The two like base units in the army that are like what I think maybe the studio might even have in their mind when they base the army around.
Yes. Very good in this book, man, my man. Like they are so potent. And I do love when a book makes me like my rank and file, like my basic units feel powerful. They feel important. And they can do a lot of different things.
Excellent. I feel the same way. It's like, you know, you don't feel like you're necessarily paying that tax.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, so in 7th edition. Like, what they had to do to make us like Tactical Marines, free rhinos, free upgrades. And they're like, yes, Tactical Marines are awesome. A legionary in this book makes a Tactical Marine look like an intercessor, look like a scrub. They are just so amazing.
We're jumping a little bit ahead. But
we are, sorry.
But no, it's hard to contain the excitement. The next attachment that's on the list here is the Dread Talons. With Terror Descends aura in the Battleshock step of your opponent's command phase. If an enemy unit is below the starting strength and is within 12 inches of one or more heretic starter unit from this, it must take a Battleshock test. And in each time an enemy unit within 12 of this or one or more heretic starter units from your army takes a Battleshock test, subtract one from the results.
So this is really interesting because this is essentially a reprint of the Dread aura from Chaos Knights. Now, I'm a Chaos Knight player, so that aura and that ability in Chaos Knights, it's just kind of nice to have. When it works, you're happy. Like, yeah, you don't really have much data sheet ability or synergy to really lean into it, apart from like one enhancement and Terror Shades. The only really two ways to lean in and gain value. I got to tell you, Chaos Space Marines can lean into this thing extremely, extremely heavily.
That's good.
The amount of Battleshock shenanigans and the synergies you can build around this are stupendous.
In the game, it seems like there's a little bit of a struggle to make the leadership type effects, you know, relevant not feel like a fun sponge.
Yeah, I agree. There's a couple of really cool abilities in here. Willbreaker in the fight phase, just after the bearer, so this is a heretic status model only, after the bearer has made its attacks, like the one enemy unit that you just hit, and you just about anything you're going to put this on is going to hit on a 2. That unit must then take a Battleshock test at a minimum of a -1, because of course they're going to be within 12 inches of you. If you are, say, a Raptors unit, additional negatives. And then, you know, you can flip objectives without actually having to do a wound, because you just, okay, I've got 5 OC, 6 OC, because I've got a Chaos Lord and 5 Raptors, and you have 30 OC because you are, you know, whatever you are. It doesn't matter. I just hit you once, mate. I just hit you once. Now you have to take a negative bajillion battle shock.
Yeah, good luck rolling a 9. No.
And it doesn't matter if you live, doesn't matter if you die, I get my points anyway.
Ooh, that's a really good use of that.
Yeah, really cool.
Scoring.
I'm just going to the Raptors data sheet so we can get the relevant information here. Whilst an enemy is within 6 of this unit, each time the unit makes a Battleshock test, subtract 1 from the result. And at the start of the fight phase, each enemy unit within engagement range of one or more units with this ability must take a Battleshock test. So they're going to have to take 2 Battleshocks in the fight phase. They'll have to take 1 because this unit, like, essentially is in combat with them, and they'll have to take that at -2. And then if you hit them with a Chaos Lord with this enhancement, they just got to take another one. So even if you are leadership bajillion custodies, that's pretty much like rolling a 7 twice. A 7 or more twice. So good odds.
And they've got it.
So 6 or more twice.
Here.
Yeah, 6 or more twice.
The Eater of Dread, which is basically a relic that you roll at the start of your command phase. You can get a command point if you roll a 5+, but you get a +1 of that roll for every battle shocked unit on the table for your opponent.
Yes. This is really cute. I'm not sure how often this is going to pop off, but straight up, like, as long as a guy is on the battlefield, that's 5 chances to roll a 5. And usually 5 chances to roll a 5, you'll get 1 or 2. And then a lot of the time it's going to be a 4 or a 3 or even lo and behold, a 2. And you're going to feel really, really clever when that happens.
Yep. And then, you know, the warp fuel thrusters, I think you made mention of it.
Yes, this is great.
Yeah. Jump pack Chaos Lord model only. At the end of your opponent's turn, if the bear's unit is not within engagement range of one or more enemy units, you can remove the bear's unit from the battlefield and place it into strategic reserve.
So warp talons just do that by themselves, but then you can take a jump pack Chaos Lord, attach it to 10 raptors, and now they do it too. So you're essentially playing Hypercrypt, because every turn you just like pick up. Back. Battleshock. And then pick them all back up again, and drop them back down, and Battleshock everybody. And the best thing I can tell you about how to use that unit, the 10 with the Chaos Lord, is Screaming Descent. You knew this was coming. Everyone knew this detachment was going to get this. This is the 3-inch deep strike.
For 1 CP.
When 1 CP, set your unit up anywhere on the battlefield is more than 3 inches horizontally from any enemy units. But at the end of the turn, it is not eligible to declare a charge, of course. Select 1 infantry or mounted unit within 6 of and visible to your unit. They must take a Battleshock test. And that's another one where I'm just like, well, I'm just going to take 5 Raptors, just 5, and I'm going to deep strike them down 3 inches away onto a home objective. And I'm just going to flip it because usually people have, are holding the hope objective with like Gretchen and nonsense.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to dip strike 3 inches away. And all I need to do is be able to put one model on it because you're going to be, I'm going to be OC1 and you're going to be OC0. So it doesn't matter. One is enough. As long as I have just the sliver of objective to place one model, I can, you can flip any objective in the game.
I think it's sick. Just being like a, just precise, a scalpel, just carving out points out of every turn.
It's so, and I do, it is the Night Lords attachment, and it's so Night Lordsy because they're conquering through fear, not through actually having to deal damage. They can still deal damage just fine. Like they still, they have a bunch of actually legitimately pretty good damage dealing abilities. Exactly right. And that some of these stratagems also, you know, do assist in the death killing. But the fact is you're just going to scare people into giving you points on the tabletop. And I think that's just so excellently written.
Here's one thing that, speaking of the killing, the Merciless Pursuit. End of your opponent's movement phase, one Heretic Astartes infantry unit from your army that is not within engagement range of one or more enemy units. Select one enemy unit that fell back this turn and is within 6 inches of your unit. Your unit can declare a charge as if it were your charge phase. When doing so, you can only select the enemy, the unit that was the target of the charge.
That is possibly the build around stratagem. That's possibly the build around. Because that is, for one CP, that is a game changer. That is psychological damage, emotional damage even, that you're going to inflict on your opponent. Because man, oh man, every time you hit them in combat and you don't kill them, you need to tell them about this strat. Because you don't want to gotcha them with it, but you want to stress them out with it.
Yeah, by the way, I can do this.
I can do this. You want to fall back? You can stay here and die, or you can make me spend a CP, get closer to you, and kill you anyway.
It does mention this as note that even if this charge is successful, your unit does not receive any charge bonus this turn.
Yeah, so they're likely to hit you first, is the way I read that. But still, it's totally fine so often in the game. Here is a really good stratagem to use in concert with the 3-inch deep strike, especially 3-inch deep striking raptors, that as soon as they arrive, they'll force you to take a battle shock. Because this one happens in your shooting phase. One Heretic Astartes unit, infantry unit, that has not been selected to shoot. To the end of the phase, each time a model your unit makes an attack that targets a unit that is battle shocked and or below half strength, you can re-roll the hit roll or you can re-roll the wound roll. Oh, amazing.
That's the pitiless hunters.
Yeah, amazing. Great stratagem. You need user synergies. It doesn't give you just free gas. Doesn't just give you free power. You have to work a little bit for it, but it works in the way that this army wants to come together. And so, you know, 3-inch deep strikes and raptors behind a unit you really want to kill, make them take the battle shock. If they don't take the battle shock, go elsewhere. You know, shoot elsewhere. But unit of 5 Havocs with something like this would really be quite potent.
Incredibly strong. Like, again, making a case for every one of these attachments we talked about so far. And then there is another one.
There's three more. Four. Oh my Lord.
Oh, apologies.
You want to do this over 2 weeks? We can just cut it. Yeah, there's so much. We can do this episode entirely again.
Look, I love all the variety. Again, I talk about the depth of collection and stuff like that. I love it when, you know, this is one of those books when it comes out to where like, I went through my bikers era, you know, or whatever.
Yes.
Like, or remember when I got all those predators?
Yeah, exactly right. Remember when predators were good? 3 land raiders. Remember when everyone ran 3 land raiders for chaos? Yeah. They're coming back around.
So the next one's the Fellhammer Siege Host. And the detachment rule here is the Iron Fortitude. Each time a ranged attack targets a Heretic Astartes unit from your army, if the strength characteristic of that attack is greater than the toughness characteristic of that unit, subtract 1 from the wound roll.
Do you remember transhuman physiology from last edition? Well, you know, we have a pseudo transhuman physiology here. Now, a lot of people look at this one and they're just like, oh my God, vehicle. I actually look at this one and I think this is the Terminator and Obliterator detachment.
I felt the exact same way. How many Terminators can I get on the table right now?
Correct. Because as soon as you hit in toughness 5, you have a bunch of things you're already, you know, durable against. You're sitting on a 2+, 4+ invulnerable save now with a good 3 wounds. So you want the medium toughness band, I think, for this. Because, of course, you're already toughness 12 on Land Raiders. They don't need the assistance. There's very few toughness 14 things out there. Las Cannons are still winning you on 4s and stuff like that. But you want the stuff that's going to not love plasma cannons, melter guns, the stuff that is built to kill Terminators and, you know, the Obliterators.
Your opponents paid a premium for.
Correct. Yes, correct. To put in their list, you know, things like eradicators, you know, you're not a vehicle, so they're not getting any rerolls. They're just hitting you on fours with Oath of Moment, maybe, and then wound you on fours. And you're like into a four up invulnerable save. You're like, well, okay, maybe did you kill two dudes? You're dead now because you came into melter range and you killed two dudes. Oh, sucks to be you.
But I felt the exact same way. Like the picture of this detachment is a Land Raider and a Predator. You think, you know, Iron Wars is going to be great. Like, yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, you can still do that. But I think you're exactly right that the power in this is putting the stuff that is, you know, maybe non-traditional for what this might have been the typical for before.
Obliterators are very Iron Warriors-y, right? Because they're the first ones to really, like, you know, wield a techno-virus. I want to tell you about one of the enhancements that pops out to me. This is Iron Artifice, infantry model only. The bearer's weapons have the anti-fortification 4+. Oh, what a banger, what a banger. No, anti-vehicle 4+. And
anti-fortification as well, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but I was just trying to make it funny. But Thunderhammers, getting their dev wounds on a 4+. Feels very good. That one Chaos Lord is just a Imperial Knight problem solver. Yeah, just go in, just make mince of it by itself. And of course, if you're in a unit of legionaries and that Imperial Knight is on an objective, you get rerolls to wound. So you're hitting on twos with exploding hits, doing criticals on fours, rerolling.
On the place you want to be anyway.
That guy is sick. That guy is sick.
The Bastion plate is another good one that basically can blank the damage characteristic down to zero once per battle round. Once you fail a saving throw, once per battle round is pretty good, if you ask me.
It's pretty juicy. Yeah, pretty juicy. There is a warp tracer. So this is a heretic seismal only. In your shooting phase, after the bearer has shot, select one enemy unit hit by one or more of those attacks. They cannot have cover. So, you know, this can really help things like predators who have a relatively low AP count of one, you know, get to that pseudo AP too. So I quite like that one as well as a bit of an activator for some of your shooting assets.
Yeah, think of it as the combination. It's like some stack on stack of good stuff.
Yes. Well, I do need to tell you about some more. One of their stratagems, which is, this is the biggest reason I think this is the Obliterator and Terminator list. Steadfast Determination. One CP. In your opponent's shooting phase, just after an enemy unit selected as targets, one Heretic Astartes unit from your army that was selected as a target of one or more of those attacks. To the end of the phase, models in your unit have a 5+ feel no pain. And notice you can use that on a Heretic Astartes unit. You could use it on a Land Raider if you wanted to, a Defiler. But Terminators that are minus one to wound.
Yeah.
Dude, Terminators that are minus one to wound with a 2+ armor save, possibly in cover, 4+ invulnerable save, 5+ feel no pain. Oh, chef's kiss. Gimme. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
For one CP, that does seem like pretty good steal.
Oh, incredible. I mean, it would be probably busted if it was flight phase as well, let's be honest. They did well making it only the shooting phase. It's vastly more reasonable. And it's more Iron Warriors-y, just wading through the fire, uncaring.
Sitting there on the wall or in the trench.
Yeah.
Just waiting for biding their time to get up close and personal.
Another phenomenal one is the next one there, is Siegecraft. It's one CP in your opponent's charge phase. Your unit is minus two to charge. That's so clutch.
Oh, we haven't seen that in a while.
It's not given out very often, mate, especially not as a stratagem.
Yeah, I do like that, though. I mean, especially you turn it into, you know, somebody trying to come in for reserve. Again, a lot of the stuff that we've seen or talked about in this book so far fundamentally changes the battle plan of your opponent.
Yeah, I agree. The last one I want to talk to you about here of the stratagems is Point Blank Destruction. Now, this is one where I am just, obliterators are just going to love this. 20 gargoyles getting you down. They're tying you up, stopping you from, you know, shooting and doing stuff. One CP in your shooting phase. One heavy starters unit from your army that is within engagement range of one or more enemy units that has not been selected to shoot. To the end of the phase, your unit's ranged weapons, excluding blast weapons, have the pistol ability. So Terminators shooting into combat. And I do believe the obliterators have at least one of their profiles is in blast, if I remember correctly. Just going to quickly check. But how do you feel about that one? That just seems so good on, you know, a bunch of Terminators with combis.
It really does. Yeah, I mean, especially when it gets stuck in. With the way that we would think we were building this list, you're going to get plenty of opportunities to use that.
Yeah, absolutely. It leans into the attrition so well. I mean, Havocs, you know, try and tie up a unit of Havocs with Reaper chain cannons. Lol. chain cannon go burr.
Yeah, point blank destruction.
It's the flesh metal guns. This is so sick, man. So one of the profiles for the flesh metal guns for the obliterators is sustained hits one. And of course you can, you know, flex because they've already got sustained hits. You can use their dark pact to get the lethals. D6 plus three shots. They're not blast. Yeah, 20 gargoyles getting you down. D6 plus three shots each on up to, yeah. And strength hitting on three, strength five minus one, one damage. You just go straight through that unit. It's not there anymore. Get it out of here.
Wow. Talking about a menace of this stuff. And a lot of the things that would kind of choke you out like that and choke out your ability to get around the table might succumb to that. I mean, we've been talking about, I know, look, orcs are just hitting the scene this week.
Yeah.
And, yep. And a lot of talk about, you know, 200 boys.
Yes. Problem solved.
Yeah. It does seem like a solution.
Well, that's the reason I really like this detachment is because things like orcs and even Necrons as well, they don't love fighting into 2-up armor saves. And they carry a lot of strength 6 plus weaponry, which essentially activate all the minus 1 to wound across the board. You know, things like Doomstalkers, things like Monoliths, even like things like the Silent King as well with the Menhirs. Like you just are getting value from the Iron Fortitude at every level. I think this is a really cool detachment for just a durability pile. This is just a pile of durability. Chew as much of this $2 steak as you can.
Now, you are right. There are three additional detachments in this book.
It just keeps going, baby.
No, it is just ripe in so many different ways to
play. Man, it just keeps going. The ways to play just keep getting more diverse and more interesting and more exciting. We might have to power our way through the last three. But the next one is the Pact Bound Zealots. And this is pretty much, I believe, this is the as close to the Index detachment as I think we have. They have the Talisman of Burning Blood, the Eye of Tzeentch, the Orb of Unlife, the Intoxicating Lisset. They have all the god-specific ones. And of course, this is built less to be more of the take all comers and is to be reflective of, I think, the word bearers.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. So when mustering your army, when you select a Heretic Status unit to include in your army, if this unit is not an epic hero and does not already have one of the following keywords, you must select one of the Marks of Chaos essentially for them. And each one, you know, defers a buff. Gains a weapon ability as a result of the Dark Pact, not failing the result of leadership test until the end of the phase, they get the ability below. If you are Khorne or Tzeentch or Chaos Undivided, you get, if they gain lethal hits, if you chose lethal hits, Khorne gets critical fives, Tzeentch gets Tzeentch gets critical fives in shooting, and Chaos Undivided, you can reroll hit rolls of one. Units that gain sustained hits one for Nurgle is crit fives in ranged, Slaanesh is crit fives in melee, and Undivided is still the same rerolls. And of course, Khorne units can't have the psychic units and blah, 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 all those usual T's and C's. But this one is pretty much it's pretty much the Index attachment. A little bit rebranded and a little bit tweaked, but it's very similar.
Yeah, this is the roving band.
Yes.
Of chaos.
Yeah, all the gods trying to get along.
Yes, but I think you're exactly right. You kind of hit it on the head of maybe like a word bearer's feel.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, possessed to take any one of those marks extremely well. Of course, it's going to be Khorne or Nurgle's. Khorne or Slaanesh, they get the crit fives, or just Undivided, so they get rerolls because they still have Profane Zeal as one of their stratagems, which is extremely powerful. Shooting or fight phase, one hit of Extardes, Undivided unit from your army, you get to reroll the wound roll. Just reroll the wound roll for one CP. Very powerful.
Oh, so much of that in this book of just adding that extra reliability to your already kind of premium stuff.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, everything's getting, like, there is a detachment in this book to take your favorite unit to 11 out of 10. Doesn't matter what unit it is. There is one in here. And it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. I hope this represents the new, you know, what we can expect from the rest of the codexes for this edition. And, you know, because GW has been openly said they are willing to go back and address internal balance in other codexes. If this is the level that we can all, you know, expect to be at in this edition, my God, this is a good edition.
Sign me up.
My Lord.
I do want to talk about this one stratagem, Skin Shift. One Heretic Astartes unit from your army. One model in your unit regains up to 3 lost wounds. In addition, if your unit is Zinch unit, below its starting strength, one destroyed model is returned to your unit with its full wounds remaining.
Yeah, really cool. I mean, people take a Tank Marine for this ability, so just to, the chance to get 3 lost wounds back.
Is that this is just something you can burn when you need it, and you don't have to invest those points into another character.
Yeah, exactly right. The next one is the Chaos Cult, and this is the one, you know, built around your Traitor Guardsmen, your cultists, etc. Desperate Devotion is the army rule. Each time a damned unit from your army, which is the keyword they've attached to essentially the non-legionary, you know, the non-Astartes, from your army with this dark pack ability is selected to make a normal or advanced move or declare a charge, it can make a Desperate Pact. If it does so until the end of the phase, add 2 to the move characteristic of models in that unit and add 2 to the charge rolls made for that unit. Each time, and this pact reads, each time a unit makes a Desperate Pact, it must first take a leadership test. If it's failed, take a D3 mortal wounds. So essentially, it's giving them the army rule in their own version.
Yep. For the,
The damned units don't. Yeah, the damned units generally don't have the Dark Pact rule.
Yeah, that's the same thing we've seen kind of happen with the AdMech stuff where they... Some of the robots and stuff that did not get the rule, there's a detachment that kind of lets them fake it.
Yes, exactly right. They have the detachment light. Just going to double check on like the Traitor Guardsman data sheet because they have a characters now as well, which is cool. So we had the essentially a Traitor Guard commander, or is it a platoon command squad? Enforcer, it is a platoon command squad essentially. And yeah, they have Dark Pacts. So they do get this in addition to the Dark Pacts, which is kind of cool. But yeah, this detachment is sweet. This detachment is a lot of fun. It is your rabble. It is your horde. You want to tell us about any of the enhancements?
The Incendiary Goad. A Dark Apostle or Damned model only. While the bear unit is below its starting strength, add 1 to the strength characteristics of melee weapons equipped by damned models in that unit. And while this unit is below half strength, add 1 of the attack characteristics of weapons as well. So, you know, they just fight harder, the worse they get.
I really like that on Accursed Cultists because they take the +1 strength extremely well. And +1 attacks as well. That's really cool.
I do
and
like
their unit that's constantly get, like dying.
So when you can get more out of a unit that is, you know, not expected to perform at that capacity.
Yeah. Well, what's great about the Accursed Cultists is you kill all the little jerks and you're left with the torments left, which are the only damage dealers in the unit anyway. And now they're +1 attack, +1 strength. It sounds really good to me.
Yeah. Amulet of Tainted Vigor, too, is Dark Apostle model. Only in your command phase, you can return up to D3 destroyed damn models, excluding character models.
Excellent.
Models. This is models.
Yeah. Excellent.
Unit.
You also have Warped Foresight, which is another banger. A Dark Apostle or damned model only. Scat 6 for them and their unit. Yeah, really cool.
And we're talking about how large that unit can be.
Yes, ridiculous. 25 models is the biggest. Yeah, which is as big as any unit in the game. Like, there's no, we don't have 30 model units anymore in this game. Mm. 20 is the cap, and then you slap 5 guys on the side, and you are good to go.
I'm digging that. Then, of course, we got down to stratagems. What's jumping out at you?
Reckless Haste is the first one that jumps out at me. This is 1 CP in your charge phase. 1 damned unit from your army. Until the end of the turn, a unit is able to declare a charge in a turn in which it advanced. And we know that Desperate Pact gives you +2 move and +2 charge. So you can really cover ground and tie people up with this army. It's really, really sweet.
The one that's got me kind of jazzed, the Mortal Thralls. 1 CP when your opponent shooting phase just after enemy unit has been selected as its target. 1 Heretic Astartes unit from your army that was selected as the target of one or more of the attacking units units attacks. And 1 friendly damned unit within 3 inches of your unit visible to both your unit and the attacking unit. Basically, the damned unit eats wounds for the Heretic Astartes unit.
Yep. Your body block for your Heretic Astartes masters. I think that is excellent stratagem writing.
You know,
there's also some other just...
Well, characters can't join, you know, they only join certain units wherever to get that protection and that kind of stuff. But this is like, you just added, 40 wounds or whatever to a potential other unit.
Yeah. I mean, quickly, Chosen for Glory, you make a Desperate Pact. And regardless of failing or passing, you can then reroll the hit roll. If you did pass it, you reroll the wound roll as well. That is exceptional value for 1 CP. I mean, none of these units outside of Cursed Cultists are really going to be popping into the damage stratosphere, but Christ for Focus is another one where you make it in, it's your shooting phase only. Thank God it's not the fight phase. You make a desperate pact, and if you don't, even if you don't pass the pact, you improve the armor penetration characteristic of your attacks by one. If you did pass the desperate pact, you get plus one strength on your guns as well. So you can just kind of every now and then decide your unit of 25 cultists is going to be somebody today. They're going to be somebody. They're going to earn it. They're going to earn their way into the pantheon.
Yeah, and that chosen for glory you mentioned just a second ago is the shooting or the fight phase.
Yes, that one is so very good. So very good.
Yeah, this is good times. And then Vashtor gets a little bit of love here with the Soulforged Warpack is the next detachment.
This is good.
It's all good, man. This has been all good. Like, hopefully there's some Chaos Generals out there, some heretics that have, been just waiting for their time. And now is the time.
Their third eye of the gods is opening as we speak.
I say now is the time. I think there's a pre-order window of a couple of weeks. So
yeah,
hold tight. But it's coming. It's closer. Closer than ever.
You're
going to get the detachment rule? Go for it.
No, you don't, mate. Pop off.
So the detachment rule for this is Debt to the Soul Forge. Each time a Heretic Astartes demon vehicle unit from your army makes a dark pact, if it can invoke its contract. If it does, subtract one from the resulting leadership test when making the dark pact phase and until the end of the phase. A couple of bullet points here. Each time a model in that unit makes a ranged attack roll, add one to the moon roll. Add two to the attack characteristics of the melee weapons equipped by models in that unit.
Wow. Very good. You're taking a little bit more damage, so it's important you bring ways to heal yourself, like with the Warp Smiths. But live life on the edge. Oh, man, you just gas up. I do love the idea that, like, turn five comes around and you've got, like, six demon engines that have all killed themselves down to, like, one or two wounds remaining because they just, like, keep punching themselves to pop off. But they will pop off. Like, wowee. One of the combo enhancements here is that the tempting addendum, Heretic Astartes model only. Each time a Heretic Astartes demon vehicle from your army invokes its contract, whilst within three. So it is a very small aura, but you can still maybe be able to fit two or three vehicles, and definitely two. It suffers one or more wounds. If it suffers one or more wounds from its dark pact, so it fails its leadership, you take another mortal wound in addition. But until the end of the phase, you re-roll the hit roll. And once again, all of these guys can have lethals or sustained. Just all of it, just gassed up to the nines, to the gills. I mean, thank the Lord Forge Fiends are expensive, because triple Forge Fiend would be windmill slammed with your entire face into this detachment, and it would end worlds. It would just end worlds, my man.
Cannot wait to see it. And this is just a one benefit thing, but the enhancement Invigorated Mecha Tendrils add four to the Bear's move characteristic.
Yes, so the bearer gets to keep up. That's pretty much it's the my Warpsmith gets to keep up with my bullies, with my the meat of my army into the middle of the table. Otherwise, they will just leave that guy in the dust. Yeah. So the plus one to wound I just read out for the tempting addendum, the way I think this is going to work is you have two little claws from the sides of your defilers within three of this guy while they spread out on huge flanks because they're just so wide. And they both, because every one of their guns loves to reroll to hit, and every one of their guns gets a lot of mileage from plus one to wound from in this detachment. So I think defilers make a lot of sense here. I'm not sure if I'm brave enough to say you should definitely take two, but they feel better. Like I said at the start, if you love defilers, this makes them feel so good. This detachment makes them feel so good. I actually think the unit that I think goes up, it might not be the best choice in this army, but the unit that I think gets the biggest glow up from both of those buffs is the Venom Crawler.
Its
guns are only strength 6. It has 12 shots at strength 6, AP 1, 2 damage. That profile takes plus 1 to wound extremely well. And then two more attacks means it's a lot more of a threat to a bunch of different units. But my man, the Mauler Fiend. There is a stratagem here I need to tell you about.
Hit me. I'm a big fan of the Mauler Fiend. I got a couple of them.
Which one is it? Feeding Frenzy, no.
Unstoppable Rampage. This is the one that lets you move through terrain?
Yes. This is the one that makes Chaos Knights good. The one that makes Chaos Knights what Chaos Knights are. Unstoppable Rampage 1 CP. Do you like Chaos Knights, but you'd rather play Mauler Fiends? Here we go. Your movement phase or the charge phase. One Heretic Astartes vehicle unit from your army. So it doesn't have to be a demon engine, which is great. So it can't just be a Rhino or a Land Raider.
Land Raider.
That's been selected to move this phase. Until the end of the phase, each time your unit makes a normal move, advance, or charge move, it can move horizontally through terrain features as if they were not there. The kicker here is, compared to the Chaos one, the Chaos Knights one, which you can use on two Knights for one CP, this one is only one, and you can't move through models as well. You just get to go through terrain. But I think this is still the one of the best stratagems you could ever have in this detachment. It just lets them play the table. And Maulerfiends with plus two attacks are terrifying.
Oh, nice. And I do like this, movement or charge phase too. So if you needed to really get through a bunch of walls.
Yeah. Also like to point out the Lord Discordant in this detachment really shines. The same reasons as the Maulerfiend, very deadly, very potent units that struggle with the density of terrain we have on tables. This detachment means you get to use them as you wish, straight into your opponent. I love it. I love this detachment. I think it's great.
The density of terrain you're talking about is some of the tournament formats out there, like the match play formats.
Yeah.
That by the way, I know I said tournaments, but they really are. They give a pretty equal play surface or experience, whether you're playing shooting or assaulting. It's pretty balanced across the side, and that's why it's chosen for those match play environments. There is a certain level of density in setting up fire lanes and stuff like that with the terrain, and so being able to ignore that is a crazy powerful ability.
Yeah, agreed. I would like to say that the Humble Hellbrute maybe shines in this detachment also. Devoted to destruction, if this unit is equipped with two melee weapons, addition to its close combat, add two to the attacks characteristic if it's got two melee weapons. So it gets plus four attacks.
Okay.
Because, of course, you get plus two. And the Power Scourge, my dude. The Power Scourge already has eight attacks. You go up to 12 attacks with your Power Scourge. Hit it. Yeah. I mean, it's not a great profile into some things like two up saves and stuff, but it is hilarious. Nine attacks with your Hellbrute Hammer at strength 14, minus 3, d6, plus 1.
Just off.
Oh, so cool.
Man. Well, I mean, we just got through the detachments.
We did. And we scraped them. They are deeper than even we described. There is more going on there.
But this book is jam-packed. Yeah, it really is jam-packed.
Yeah. I mean, I said I love the Maulerfiend so much as well, because you can't slow it down. You ignore all modifiers to advance and charge roll, to move advance and charge. So there's no slowing it down. It just goes. It just goes at you. I think it's adorable. I love it so much.
Oh, I cannot wait to see what Chaos Generals do with this codex and what they... I want to hear that enthusiasm of people taking those models off the shelf that they maybe haven't played with in a little while, and are finding total new ways to do it.
You've heard me, a non-Chaos Space Marine player, just exuberant and just I'm dribbling with excitement about this book, and I don't even play this book because I just know how much fun and how much joy this codex is going to bring to a huge player base in our community.
Cannot wait. That is our show this week. Thanks everybody for listening. Please leave those 5-star reviews for us anywhere you're listening to us. Hit the thumbs up and all that kind of stuff. Tell the algorithms that this is the place you want to come hear some Warhammer 40K talk at least one time a week, and it would mean a whole lot to us. Adam, we have absolutely just scratched the surface of this book, and I think we'll be talking about it next week also.
We could have done a month on this book, just this book.
Well, thank you all very much, everybody. We will see y'all next week.
See yous.
Our craft worlds are sentient beings. These hosts are not. Better luck next time, monkeys!